So the celebration of Christmas has happened, and many of us have maybe new things received on Christmas as gifts. And some of those gifts are new things that replace old things. And there's often an effect that happens when we receive something new. I think clothes are a good example. You know, sometimes I think we'd have to admit some of the things that we have, some of the things that we've been wearing just definitely needs to get replaced. Either they're out of fashion, out of style, worn out, or whatever, but it's time to replace some of those things. And I think we all would agree it's always nice to wear something new. But I think we can also think about this spiritually. So in Colossians chapter 3, Paul gives us a list of garments we should not be caught dead in. And if you look at his list prior to our reading for today in Colossians 3, he says, all right, if you're in a sense you're wearing this is part of yourself, let's take this off, let's get rid of it. He says, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. But then he comes along and then says in the New Testament lesson for today that we have garments that we should never be without. Perfect things to be wearing in life in the way we present ourselves into the world. And so you'd say, well, that's the impeccable Christian ensemble that we should be wearing. I think it's true, our clothes do say a lot about ourselves, about us. The way we dress sometimes communicates how we feel about ourselves, the way we express our moods, our personality, and we do that. When you want to be totally relaxed and comfortable, this is what you wear. If you want to be super formal and fancy, these are the kinds of things you wear. Your moods do affect sometimes what we wear and where we wear it. And even Paul knows that. So I think in a spiritual way, what he's doing here in Colossians 3 is he's handing out fashion citations to some people and say, you know, this just doesn't look good on you. And here, maybe try this on instead. What about wearing that new garment you got, you know, for your new birthday? What about that thing that you were given when on Christmas or on Easter? You know, the very things that Christ gave you to wear. And I do believe that what you do is determined by who you are, or at least the way you perceive yourself to be. Because who we are and what we are in Christ is key to our spiritual maturity. It's true that if we are in Christ, we have a new identity. Because Paul writes, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And Satan doesn't want us to realize who we are in Christ. And so he uses all sorts of things in and around us in the world in a lot of different ways, just mess with our minds. And isn't it amazing what we do have to be reminded of? You think, why would you have to be reminded of that? But we do constantly, all the time. We have to be reminded of who or what we are in Christ. That we have to put to death or take off the bad things. And that we have to put on the good. Again, it's amazing that we have to be reminded of it, but we do it all the time and need it. Kind of in a practical illustration or example, maybe sometimes when you get things for Christmas because it's a new thing or something you've always wanted, and now you've got that plus the other stuff, it's the perfect excuse to maybe, all right, this is something new. That means this other thing needs to go now. It needs to be purged or cleaned out or organized. And as we come into the new year, we make sometimes those resolutions. It's time for this stuff to go. So we go to the store, we buy the new storage bins, we organize, we do all those kinds of things. Go on a cleaning or a purging quest. And I'm always amazed how much stuff you can always find to get rid of. There's a certain cabinet in our garage, and like I was telling Amy yesterday, it's amazing that every single year we could almost empty out half of it and donate it or give it away or do something with it, and then exactly a year from now, we could dump out another half of it. It's amazing what keeps accumulating, coming in, stuff that we don't need. I can take clothes, for example, things that I don't wear anymore. They've worn out or whatever, and maybe they're still in good shape. I can take those and I can donate them, give them away so other people could use them. Somebody else's use. But then there are some things in our life you don't just give away and say, hey, why don't you have this now? Why don't you share this now? You literally throw it away. And that's spiritually, again, the same thing. Perfect example. In the book of Acts chapter 19, there was a significant ministry thing that was going on in the city of Ephesus. And the ministry that was taking place there was completely transforming that place and people's lives. And this is what it says. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. It says, if you were to tally up the value of everything that was thrown in the bonfire that day, it said 50,000 drachma. Now, a drachma at the time was the equivalent of a day's wage. Multiply that by 50,000. It was a significant spiritual house cleaning. Those things aren't things that you just give away for somebody else to use. Now, though, these are things that literally were tearing people down in the faith, driving people away from God, and it was time to get rid of this stuff. But you see, walking with God is a daily thing. Back, way back in my home church up in Tacoma, Washington, way back when, there was a kid in my youth group. His name was Pete. Great kid. And it seems like as a youth group, anytime we went to maybe a Christian concert, some kind of event, some kind of rally, and if there happened to be maybe like an altar call at it, Pete would always go forward. Every single time. There goes Pete again. And it was a cool thing. But finally one day, Pete was in my office and we were talking, and he said, hey Pete, how about we do this? You have a heart for God. You have an incredibly soft heart. Let's look at every day you wake up, Pete. Do this. Say, God, thank you for the life you've given me. I just want to follow you and walk with you today. How about every day you wake up and have an altar call in your life? You just commit yourself to God every day. It's interesting, that was that many years ago. Almost every single time I've gone back to my home church to visit, Pete's there. And he's walking with God, he's growing in his faith, he's living in the life of the ministry of that church. And what a great thing to go back year after year after year. I'd go back, and there was always, Pete was always there. It's neat to see what God's been doing in his life. Very cool. See, in Colossians 3, Paul is saying, remember who you are. Because that's where it all starts, with our identity. He says, you are one of God's chosen people. In other words, you've been entrusted with the message about the Savior. You're holy. You've been set apart for his plan and purpose in your life. He says, you are dearly loved. God sacrificed his very son for you. He wants you to have a relationship with him. So he says, because of that, clothe yourself with Christ. Wear him. Clothe yourself with, bear with, put on. Let the peace of Christ rule. He says, be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you and do all things in the name of and connection with Christ. And every single one of those things, if you look at the way it was in its original language, it's a continuous action. It's not a one-time thing. It's a day after day after day type of thing. It's daily allowing Christ access into your life. It's not something that just, all right, it's this day now, so this is when the Christian thing happens. It's a daily thing, a daily walk. And it becomes life itself, how you see life, do life. It's a living relationship with Jesus Christ. See, what our human nature wants, as Paul describes it in this passage, what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is opposed to what, you know, the human nature wants. And there's this conflict that goes on. So it's a daily struggle. It's a daily conflict. So we keep our eyes focused on Christ and draw from what he wants to give us. So Paul tells us, hey, put on, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And so again, it's a life that reflects Christ's love. And the words Paul uses to describe a Christian lifestyle are the very words that were used to describe Jesus and his life and his ministry. Because to be in Christ is to have Christ, and to have Christ is to possess these things. You can look at it this way. There's a difference between trying to get something you don't have and letting the Spirit release from within what you already possess. Those of you who know me know that I do a lot of errand running in my life. And oftentimes when I'm out running my errands or whatever, sometimes I'm dressed a little more casual or whatever, but I often have worn older Trinity Spirit t-shirts that I've accumulated over the years. And almost on numerous occasions over the years, people have stopped me and asked about my shirt or say, I like what that says or whatever. And it's kind of cool to be able to have those conversations with people. But one time I was wearing my one shirt and it said, love one another on the back. And I was in Target where I frequently am. And this guy just stops me. I think he was behind me in line. He says, hey, I really like your shirt. And he said, you know, I left my house this morning with that thought in mind. And with all the craziness of the things going on right now, to be able to stay focused on Christ, that's what I want to reflect in my life. That's what we want to all be able to do. Our responsibility is to abide or live in Christ, and then just allow his Spirit to do the work in and through us. Because so much of what can be known and practiced in the idea of letting God's word richly dwell within us. So let it sink in. Well, why? Why? So that we could learn to fear the Lord. So that we could enjoy a fruitful life. So that we might not sin against God. And it's what happens when over time we just learn in our thinking, in our minds, the things of God. And then we seek to obey them and do them, and put it into practice, and then in faith kind of step out and do it. It just becomes a part of a habit or like a rhythm. We think about it, we get it in our minds, we decide to put it into action, and it just develops. Let the word dwell. Allow it to do what it desires to get in. It's kind of what James describes in his letter. In the first chapter, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. Same kind of thing. I hear it, I listen to it, I desire it, I put it into practice, and the changes begin to take place. And the word really does then become a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And don't forget, it's interesting if you were to start reading through the Old Testament, how many times you hear over and over and over said, do not forget. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then if you back up a bit and you look at the overall context in which that's said, it always happens in the same way. When everything is going well. When everything is going well is when they're told to don't forget. When you just enter into the new promised land, don't forget. When you're eating well, don't forget. When you're able to build that new place, don't forget. When you're prospering, don't forget. He'd also say, act like a baby. Peter writes in his letter, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Because with the stories come a greater knowledge again of God. The more we understand who God is, faith is strengthened as we see him over and over and over, showing himself to be a person of his word, that we can trust him. Again, as Paul says, be confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let it sink in. I like this image that one person phrased it. He says, soak it up so you have something to squeeze out. Soak it up so you have something to squeeze out. And you look at all this together and you see what's motivating Paul to take our, in a sense, our spiritual wardrobe so seriously. Because he said, I want it to show. I want it to shine. He wants to see God's children united in love, where they work together for the same purpose, the same plan. He wants to see people who have an open relationship with God, that's nothing's hindering them or holding them back. He wants people to walk around free of guilt, knowing that they're right with God and understand what Christ has done for them, and also live in a life of reconciliation with other people. He wants people to live victorious and free lives, but ultimately he wants people just to be able to see Christ. He wants us to individually see Christ in a clear way, but also he wants our lives to not impede other people from seeing Christ. So God sent his son as a special messenger at Christmas, in a sense, to bring you a present, to bring you a package. When you open it up and you realize what it is, it's an entirely new wardrobe. Something new that we can wear and put on because of what he made it possible for us. And he says, you know what? You can wear it everywhere. It goes with everything. It won't wear out. You can always use it. Never go out of style. And he wants us to continue to let it shine and be shown to the world. God's gift to us in Christ is an amazing thing. That's something that we can live out. It's a living gift shared with us and for the people of the world. It's a beautiful thing. The message of Christmas is it's not just a one-day thing that we recognize as an event, but it's something that goes into our life every day, because that promise is always with us. So what it means to have Emmanuel, God with us. So again, Merry Christmas. God bless you. And I hope as we roll into a new year with 2022 coming again, that Christ truly would be welcomed into our new year to journey with us in a new way, in a new year. Good news for all of us. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.